In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Chris Owen, Walter Dwyer.
Hey, don't be all.
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. We have a lamentation of your women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shops. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU Radio McMaster and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I'm Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advice.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your dynamic duos.
Smash, boom, powing our way through the world of comic books!
Yes, indeed, Chris. Of course, that's a beautiful homage to Burt Ward being at
the Niagara Falls
Comic-Con this coming...
June the 9th.
June the 9th, Saturday. Right.
And that's okay, I'll finish all your sentences.
We'll be mentioning that as we go on through the show.
Absolutely,
sure.
Yes.
And they bought a block of advertising for the
a
show.
Block. Oh, yeah. That's right. They did. They're going to be our sponsors for the whole day, aren't they?
Yeah, they
that's
are.
Great.
So that's great. Chris, great to see you here on the Wednesday as we always meet to chit-chat about comics.
Yep, absolutely. As we always say, it's like a little Christmas every Wednesday.
Sure.
You get to open up the boxes. And
yeah, we get together.
On,
we have a tea.
See, yeah, it is. It's a wonderful little tea, isn't it?
Cheers.
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 Clink, clink.
Tally-ho.
Pip-pip, I say. Oh, we've got a, speaking of pip-pip, I say, we've got a special broadcast, a special correspondent news from our friend across the pond.
Yes,
good old Mr. Danny Champion.
Yes, Danny has sent in a report
that's
on
right.
all things
that's,
British.
Yes, absolutely.
So we'll get to that a little later in the show, too.
Absolutely. All right.
All right,
let's,
where are we going to start?
Well, as always, we like to start off with new this week, so why don't we start with new this week?
Hey.
How about that, eh?
Brilliant.
Well, brilliant. New this week is brought to you by the Niagara Comic Con, this Saturday, June the 9th, at the Scotiabank Convention Center in, of course, Niagara Falls.
Lovely Niagara
Now,
Falls.
It would be weird if it wasn't, if it was the Niagara Comic Con, not actually in Niagara
in
Falls.
In Welland.
Yes.
Right.
But you know what? Having said that, the Pittsburgh Comic Con is actually in Monroeville.
Right, but that's a suburb.
Yeah, that's right. And it's all, Monroeville is also where they filmed The Walking Dead, not Walking Dead,
Living Large.
One of the dead movies. I think it's...
Staying Alive.
What is it? Dawn of the Dead. That's
Dawn
the
of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead, yes.
The next guest.
Yes.
All right, very good. All right, Chris,
all right, let's start with our new this week.
Let's start with our new this week. What do you have for me? I see you picked a beautiful DC for
well,
me.
Well, you know what? It looks like we've got now the Before Watchmen comics have come out.
They're out?
Yeah, this is it. So Minutemen is the first one that's in my hands right now, and this is, of course, by Darwin Cook, and this is number 1 of 6. Looks like it's going to be an amazing book. I haven't actually, didn't get a chance to read the whole thing, but Darwin Cook is the artist and the writer, and believe it or not, have you ever heard of the writer Phil Noto, the artist Phil Noto? He's actually the colorist on this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sold on this book for one reason, and it's Darwin Cook.
Absolutely. Darwin Cook's an amazing Canadian talent, of course,
but he's
been around for a long
when
time.
When he writes and draws.
Awesome.
That's when he got his best.
Yeah. Now, did you get a chance to read his... Parker the Hunter series?
No.
Oh, okay.
I read his, obviously, I read his Spirit.
I read
New Frontier. I read a lot of Darwin Cook.
I
haven't read Parker the Hunter.
New Frontier is amazing.
Yes.
And Parker the Hunter is awesome, too. You know, for anybody that's interested in any kind of crime noir kind of comics, Parker the Hunter is the way to go. However, if you're a Watchmen fan, this is the prequel, as it were, to the Watchmen graphic novel by Alan Moore
and
Dave Gibbons.
Yes.
So, and this is
in good hands. I like
one.
It.
Yes.
I like its chances.
Yeah, I like.
And
it.
Of course, all the publicity around now. Alan Moore doesn't realize how much he's helping this book by saying how much he hates this book.
I know, eh?
Right?
But and I feel for the guy. He hates everything that is taken from him.
He's like Mikey.
Yeah.
He hates everything.
Hates everything. Yeah. Right. So, anyways, that's from DC this week.
All right, what else we got?
Next up, we've got... now, this is an interesting book, because this is... it's actually The Avengers Prelude. And this is Black Widow Strikes. And I guess it's a little late in coming out, because it was supposed to take place between the events of Iron Man 2, the movie, the Iron Man 2, and the Avengers movie.
Well,
so,
Chris, little did you know.
Well, you can end it right there.
Yeah.
Little
did you know that two-thirds of the world's population have not seen the Avengers movie yet.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, only 1 billion people have seen it.
That's true.
2 billion.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's still another 4 billion to go. So I'm sure there are a few out there that
have not seen the movie yet.
Well, check this out.
If you're a Black Widow fan from Iron Man 2, and if you're planning on seeing the Avengers movie, this is the perfect gift for anyone.
Perfect.
Who wants to see that first?
Anyone who wants to
go into that stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
So head into your local comic book store, pick this perfect gift.
Perfect one.
And wrap it up.
Absolutely.
And pass it over. All right.
All right, sounds good.
Now, you have, I remember Valiant.
Valiant was in the
90s.
Right?
I remember.
Valiant
helped cause the comic bubble to burst.
I think so. Yeah. Thank goodness, too, right? Because before all that was going on, we had 7 million copies of X-Men number 1 by Jim Lee. And then,
you know what the worst one was, Chris? What's the worst one? The worst one, the one I hated the most.
Which one?
You want to know which one?
No, tell me.
Okay. The Batman one.
Oh,
Legends
of
the
Dark
Knight. It had those 7-8 different glowy colors.
Yeah.
Kind of fluorescent.
And the worst part about that was, it wasn't even a different cover. It was just a different color.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even, like, new art or anything.
No.
Remember, I'm going to say, I remember there was a store that, I'm not going to say which one it was. But
because
you remember, like, at that time, there was all kinds of speculation about, you know, which is the right cover to buy. And
that
even occurred with that Batman comic.
Really?
So I know a manager who would take out, like, let's say he ordered 40 of each one.
Right.
Right? So let's say he would actually strategically take away 30 of one of them, so it looked like there was only 10 left.
And then
everybody would think, oh, that's the rare one. So they would all buy that one, and then he put the other 30 back, and then he'd take 30 away of the next one. So everybody would buy that one. So it was
Hey, let me take notes. Hold on. I love it.
So there's the rare blue one.
I did that once, Chris. It was totally by accident.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I did that at a con. Listen to me. I was at a con, and I forget what book it was. It's not important. Let's say it was Spider-Man number 300.
Sure.
Way back in the day.
Okay.
And it's like that. You know, I had $50 on it. I go, take 40? And I remember I had a bunch of them, right?
Okay.
I go, buddy, it's my last one.
All
right?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, all right, I'll pay 50. And then I went over, I did something later, and I found a little stack.
But three more up.
But like, I didn't know I had the stack.
Oh, okay.
But then it's like a light bulb went off. Wait a minute, I'll put one up at a time, and I'll just say it's my last one every time. What a sales ploy.
Oh, you're hilarious.
Right.
That is good, though. Anyways, but you know what? So we were talking about Valiant.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
So
Harbinger number one.
Yeah. And,
is Shooter involved in this at all?
Oh, that's a great question. No, I did flip through it very quickly, and I didn't see his name anywhere. But remember, of course, Jim Shooter was highly involved. He was the man.
Well, he tried to buy Marvel in the 90s. And all tanked.
Yeah.
I guess he tried to buy it with $80.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And then some food stamps.
Then he created Valiant.
Right.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is that you would never know it now, but at one time Marvel went bankrupt a couple times, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, in the late '80s, you know.
In the '90s.
And then late '90s even.
You could have bought it for like several million dollars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it sold for $4.5 billion.
Yeah, to Disney.
That's a good return.
Yeah,
right?
I'd say.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right, let's keep this moving, Chris. What do we have?
And then
for
the kids section, we have Garfield number 2 by Kaboom.
Kaboom.
Now, the thing I like about this is...
what do you like about it?
It's not... So Jim Davis is the creator of Garfield.
Of course.
I've heard rumors that he's not the one that actually draws the Garfield comics anymore in the comic strip.
Right.
I don't know how that goes. I don't know if people get ghosters to do it or how that works. All I know is that his name is the one that's underneath it. However, having said all that, in this particular issue, we've got, this is written by Mark Evanier and art by Gary Barker and Dan Davis. So clearly there are other people that can draw Garfield consistently well. And it doesn't have to be
Why would it have to be? Here's the thing. Right? You take a big property like Garfield, any big property.
Yep.
Okay, there is enough demand for multiple products, multiple books, graphic novels, comics, multiple levels, right? Why would one guy have to be saddled with doing all of that?
Yeah, it's a very good point.
Why? Could one person satisfy the demand for Batman?
No, absolutely not. Right. Absolutely
so
not.
So why... Okay, Garfield isn't Batman, but Garfield has a lot of demand.
I think because for a lot of people think that, you know, Garfield's like a one-trick pony, right? Or a one-trick cat, as it were. And I think, you know, whereas Batman has, you know, many different nuances to the character. I don't think Garfield has that many nuances.
You know what I say to that? Guano. Chris, that's what I say to that. It's not true.
Did you know that there is a... speaking of Garfield, did you know that there's...
Speaking of guano.
Speaking of guano. Well, I suppose we could talk about that later if you like. But speaking of Garfield, there's an online comic strip called Garfield minus Garfield. Have you ever seen that?
No.
So what... I don't know. I honestly don't remember who does it. I don't remember the name. But there's a guy that takes the Garfield comic strips, and he takes out the Garfield character.
Right.
So it just ends up being like John Arbuckle and Odie kind of having these weird, you know, sort of LSD-induced sort of conversations because they're usually just talking to themselves.
Right.
Because they're saying the same things they would say as if Garfield was there, but there's no Garfield.
Wow.
So it ends up being this really weird kind of looking comic strip.
That is terrible.
Yeah.
Send me the link.
I'll get right on that.
All right, Chris, let's end New This Week. We've got a good show today. We're going to talk about a lot of important things today. And,
sorry, yeah, I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry.
Mitch, the engineer here, is just
he's rolling in his grave. Oh. Wait, he's not dead yet. Sorry about that.
He will be if you continue this.
All right. Let me get a song going here. Hold on.
Let's interfere.
We're good. Here we go. This is an odd one. I've got a new CD here.
Good.
This one is actually. Do you remember the Muppets in Sesame Street?
Of course.
Do you remember that song Manamana? Well, yeah, I got like an Italian weird kind of version of that. Here we go.
Hit.
By Piero Umiliani.
I remember his. I love his O Solo Mio. Absolutely love O Solo Mio. Absolutely love it. That's pretty good too. Right?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought you'd like that.
All right.
Not really sure what it has to do with comics, but it's still pretty good nonetheless.
Everything.
Yeah. There you
All
go.
Right, listen. Let's keep it going here. We're going to do some comic culture mailbag.
Oh, I always like mailbag.
The Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by the Niagara Falls Comic Con this Saturday, June 9th at Scotia Bank Convention Center in Niagara Falls. And, you know, come because...
It's fun.
And I'll be set up.
And I'm hoping to go down as well.
Excellent.
Yeah, hoping to get down there.
Come high, say to me and Chris.
Come high. Come hither.
Come high. Don't come high. Just come. All right. I mean, see you at the falls.
It's just getting worse and worse. All right. We got Comic Culture Mailbag coming up here. Here's a question for you, Walt.
Yeah.
Dear Walt, I want to pick up an Iron Man number 55 because it has the first Thanos. Prices have gone crazy, but a guy in Kijiji says he'll send me his VF copy for $300. Is that a good deal or not?
Okay, who sent that?
No, sorry, that's Craig from Binbrook, Ontario.
Oh, Craig. Craig from Binbrook. I think I might know that guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does he owe you money?
I think he might. Craig, don't do it, Lane.
No?
No.
Oh.
No, first of all, Iron Man 55, of course, the first appearance of Thanos. And remember at the end of Avengers.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
At the end of Avengers, we're in the credits.
Yes.
You see Thanos.
Yes, you do.
For 2 seconds.
Yes.
And then Iron Man 55 just went through the roof.
I bet.
Next week. Yeah. They went for, like, the books that were copies that were selling for $500 in that grade. We're getting $1,500.
Really?
A copy that was selling for $80, we're getting $300.
That's crazy.
Stupid.
Yeah, absolutely, right. Yeah.
And it was one of those, that herd mentality. So you got to stay away from it. Craig, stay away from this. First of all, never buy on Kijiji if it's not slab.
Oh, really?
Okay, never buy if it's not graded. Says, hey, my book is a VF, man. You got to, my book's like awesome. It's got no tears, it rips, a small piece of paper. You can't see it. It's inside. Right? Like, don't buy it. Don't buy it. Sight unseen, and you don't want to drive to a guy's house, half far away and look at his stuff and stuff like that. So, unless it's graded, don't buy it.
Okay, what if he sees it?
Okay, if he sees it.
If he sees it and it's a decent copy.
I honestly think this book's value will come down. It'll come back down because all the hype, it's just hype now.
Yeah, right? True enough.
If you really, ask yourself, you didn't want an Iron Man 55 3 weeks. But now you want an Iron Man 55.
Yeah.
Why? Right? Because it's all hype and stuff. Everybody's excited about it. So just cool it down. And then after, I don't know when after probably Avengers 2, you'll be buying that same book for $200.
Right.
It'll still have value. It'll have more value than it had pre-Thanos clip.
Yeah. I hear you.
But it won't have the inflated hype value that it has.
That
right
is
now.
Right. Yeah, I hear
so
you.
Just,
okay.
Go out and buy a couple cases of beer.
All right.
Just sit in the hot tub. And just,
chill out.
Yeah, and read a reprint.
All right, that sounds good. I like that idea, yeah.
Chris, one for you real quick.
All right, yeah, okay.
Here, Chris. What great comic book video game does not exist that should exist?
Oh, you know what? I've actually thought about this a few times.
I bet you have.
And, I was a lonely guy for a long time, so, it happens.
Understandable.
And wait, what? Understandable? Understandable that I'm lonely?
Keep going, Chris. Keep going.
Anyways,
you're doing well.
I'm gonna, I'm gonna throw one out here at you, and I'm gonna say Captain Canuck.
A
Captain Canuck video game? Why not? Because,
I love it.
Because you know what? I think it'd be great. I think it has Captain Canuck has some espionage involved in it. It has some superhero fighting.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of everything that would make a great video game. You could be stealthy, and you can have throw punches.
Canadiana. You can draw beaver in there. You can have all kinds of stuff like that.
Draw beaver in there.
Yes, you can. Yeah. It's Canadiana.
All right.
You can have Cap eating beaver tails at the local wherever.
And, going out for some poutine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I put my money on Captain Canuck.
Because of the espionage?
Because the character himself has a lot of different things that you can do with him, right? He's not just strictly a brawler, right? He can like CSIS information,
the CIA.
For Canada.
MI5 for Canada.
Right. So he can get involved in espionage and do all that kind of cool stuff. And at the same time, it can still be superhero-y and, have some fun with it.
Very good. Yeah. All right.
That's what I'm betting on.
All right, that was from Finnegan in Toronto. Finnegan. Hopefully you won't have to wait long.
No, absolutely.
All right, Chris, are we going to keep moving?
Yeah, let's keep going. We'll do a little bit of trailer trash.
Just a little bit, a quick one, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you were telling me about this, you sent me the link to the Iron Man 3 latest still.
Yes.
So this is the first photo from the set of the new Iron Man 3 movie, which they just started filming.
Right. Now, of course, this is
very exciting.
Now, John Favreau, who directed the blockbuster first and second Iron Man movies, he is actually not coming back as the director for the third one. They're actually getting a new guy, Shane Black.
Is that going to hurt?
I don't know. I have a feeling that John Favreau will probably have some sort of, maybe producing.
He's producer,
he's still going to kind of helm things a little bit, but he probably wants to see if. It's because sometimes when you see the same director over and over again, it has the same feel and it's the same as it ever was.
But what's wrong with the same feel to Iron Man? Because both movies were great.
Yeah, but some people say that the second one, wasn't as good as the first one. And the second one was pretty similar to the first one. So maybe it just gets a little stale. Like, even the original Star Wars movies had three different directors, right? You had Irvin Kershner and Richard Marquand, who directed Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So, even the greats have different directors.
Right. Okay, fair enough. All right, well, that's let's end that now, Chris, because we got, a lot of big topics there. So just jump online. And, of course, Trailer Trash has just proliferated the Internet.
Proliferated.
Yes.
All right.
Is that a right word?
Sure, why not?
It's all over the Internet. Just jump on your favorite movie you have. Great Trailer Trash for Spider-Man out there now, for Batman out there now, for obviously right now starting the Iron Man stuff too, so whatever you like.
Here's a new musical interlude for you I've never played before. Maybe I won't say what it is yet, but you just might recognize it.
Riddle me this. What do you call a sleeping bull? Answer. A bulldozer. Riddle me this.
What's the difference between an elephant and a flea?
He would sure like to know the difference between an elephant and a flea.
Well, an elephant can have fleas, but a flea can't have elephants. Oh.
Hey,
did the chick say to the other chick when the hen laid an orange instead of an egg?
What did the chick say to the other chick when the hen laid an orange instead of an egg?
The chick said, look at the orange marmalade.
Oh, come on, Riddler.
A puzzle you a puzzle, I'll quiz you a quiz. I'm gonna keep you guessing like nobody's business. I'm a wiz, and my name is the Riddler. Which, tell me, which is the easier to spell? Fiddly D or fiddly dumb?
You know, Chris, we've known each other for a long time.
Yep.
And that may have been the worst song you've ever played on.
That's actually by Frank Gorshin, the original Riddler from the Batman series.
Yes. A fine piece of music, don't get me wrong.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. Anyway, let's, you know what?
It's honor of Burt Ward.
Burt Ward.
Coming to the Niagara Comic Con.
Very, very good. Well played.
See, there
just
go.
Don't do me a favor. Don't play.
All right, let's keep on going with industry news here. And industry news is, of course, brought to you by the Niagara Comic Con, coming to the Scotiabank Center in Niagara Falls on June the 9th.
This Saturday.
And Walt will be there, too.
I'll be there.
I just might show up as well.
All right.
And speaking of cons.
Cons.
Of course, con! Of course, the original, the...
They pulled me right back in! Wait, that's another
that's,
movie.
That's something.
Okay, never mind. Take that one back.
Okay, so, of course, the San Diego Comic-Con is coming up soon. And one of the big new events, first major announcements for the Comic-Con, is there's going to be this new sort of event called Walking Dead The Escape.
Hold on. At the Comic-Con.
Well, not really. It's sort of part of the Comic-Con. So, at the Petco Park in San Diego,
right.
They're going to set up this giant, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, you know, so you go throughout the stadium and you can either be a survivor or you can be a walker. And you pay like $70 or something like that. It might be less if you're a walker and more if you're a survivor. And the idea is that you have to, basically get from point A to point B in within like 50 minutes. And if like certain zombies or certain walkers or government agents touch you or something like that, you become then infected and you can no longer be part of the game anymore.
Oh, so it's like a huge organized
survival
game
thing. Yeah, yeah.
Paintball.
Kind of, but without the paint or the
right.
balls.
Well, the balls.
You don't need balls to play
balls.
This.
Apparently, you don't need any balls to play this. Now, listen, the people that want to be a zombie, do they come, like, looking like a zombie, or do they just...
You know...
Well, there'll be, like, small businesses doing makeup.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. So, the prices haven't been... I don't think all the finalities have been included yet. All I know is that you can actually... You can either be a survivor and try to navigate your way through the evacuation zone. You can be a walker and embrace the inevitable to become one of the undead. So maybe they paint you in some way, maybe very quickly, just like a couple of splashes of
right.
white or red on your
right,
face.
Right.
Or you can also be just a spectator and you can watch the entire thing happen, you know, as people are trying to avoid everybody else.
Would like, that be awesome?
That'd be
kind of
cool, eh?
Would it really, Chris?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, okay.
But
if
you know what?
So.
Why are you going to be like that?
I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a good idea. I mean, it looks like a good idea if you're participating.
Well, it says,
can you think of you're in Pet Farm Creek? What's that place called?
Petco Park.
Petco Park. And you're up in the nosebleeds. You're watching What the hell is going on down there? I don't get it.
Hot dogs! Get
your peanuts here!
Sorry, I can't see you. I got too many zombies.
And then there's the one guy there go, I thought there was a ball game going on tonight. What the hell? What the hell is this?
There will be multiple obstacles for you, such as cargo nets and rope bridges.
Rope burns.
So, you have to be at least 16 years old to participate.
I bet. Right,
There's going to be a special edition poster to cover the 100th issue of The Walking Dead, and all survivors and walkers will receive an exclusive special edition of 100th issue of The Walking Dead. Now, here's the thing.
There's also a thing.
Right. We actually have our intrepid reporter. Did you know that we have an intrepid reporter out on the West Coast?
We do.
Wow. Mr. Glenn Kay. He's given us a few
Danny's
things.
Danny's grandson.
I don't think he's Danny Kay's grandson.
No.
However, Glenn Kay, you remember, he has been on the show.
Yes,
he's the guy that wrote the zombie book.
Yes,
he wants to.
Danny. Glenn, how you doing?
I'm pretty sure he's going to go to this thing for us, and he's going to report back to us on how it is.
Excellent.
So he's going to. I don't know if he's going to be survivor and or walker or just participant.
Well, is it like a one thing forever? Like, or is it? I hope it's not one of those things where if you get tagged. And all of a sudden, 8 minutes in, the game is over for you.
Well, that's true. Because you know what? It is. Yeah. Okay, so it's $70 to play. If you buy your tickets ahead of time, it's $70. If you buy them at the door, it's $90. Mm-hmm. And this is to be a survivor. Now, I don't know.
I bet you it's the scalpers you get a lot cheaper.
They haven't said.
Who's got tickets?
Who wants to be a, survivor? Survivor.
Survivor.
I got survivor tickets here.
I got tickets here.
And they haven't priced out the walker and or the spectator party tickets yet.
Yeah.
Got lots of spectator tickets here.
I want to be, the only place I want to be there, Chris, is at that tailgate. Tailgate party is right there. Hey, buddy, your abdomen is sticking out.
Yeah, nice.
Nice. All right. Chris, anything else to this walking
I think story? That's about it. Other than the fact that... Yeah, it says here, hold on. I think that's it.
All right. Well, it sounds exciting. I'm looking forward to Glenn's full coverage.
Full coverage
for Comic Culture Radio. All right. Now, let's move that on then, Chris. Let's talk about, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the guy.
The Brazilian guy.
Yeah. On a similar vein, I guess. Nope.
of weirdness or what?
So there's this Brazilian guy. And then this our producer, Anthony Falcone, sent us this way.
Yes.
So there's this guy, Paulo Henrique dos Santos.
Oh, and what has Paulo done?
He painted himself green for some sort of event.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
Because,
Oh, it's like a charity run.
Yeah, whatever it was, He's a DJ, he's a singer, he's a pool cleaner, because that's what you do down there, I guess.
Did you just, hold on, did you just say it's the thing to do?
Well,
to be a pool cleaner?
Well, there's a lot of, it's hot, right? There's a lot of pools.
Dad, when I grow up, can I be a pool cleaner just like
well,
you?
Well, DJ singer / pool thing.
Oh, right.
You know, when you got that big thing that you're cleaning the pool with, it's perfect mic.
The skimmer.
The skimmer
can double.
Funny, but when you're near me.
So the skimmer can double as a microphone. And
it does.
All right, fair enough.
All right.
Okay.
All right, listen, anyway, he painted himself green for this event.
Right.
And apparently he has an Anglican phenom. He's taken 1,700 baths.
Oh, that's not good, yeah.
And he's rubbed it with soap, and he's done all kinds of things. And
he still can't get it
off. Still green.
That's not good.
He can't get it off. So he's distraught. His girlfriend is distressed. He is now suing the costume place that sold him the makeup.
Oh, so hold on. See, he actually bought,
From
a costume. So it's not just like he went to, Home Depot and bought, the bear or, some sort
of
lead-based
paint. Well, he says that he plans to sue the store and the manufacturer. He didn't say what brand of body paint he used. Now, listen. I don't know how things work in Brazil. But
apparently they work as pool jobs.
Right. No, how things work. I can't read Portuguese.
Oh,
right?
No?
No.
Okay.
And, but perhaps he misread the, maybe it was
do not apply to skin.
Yeah, maybe it was latex.
Yeah, maybe.
Paint.
Yeah.
Maybe he bought the wrong paint.
It's very possible.
Right. And maybe he's like, no, just fishing.
No, okay, like
for
me,
money.
Well, but hold on a second here. It's not like he had a tattoo of ink put on him. I mean, eventually this ink will come off. Eventually, because your skin cells will die off.
Apparently, it's not, Chris, and he's worried that you know, there might be lead in it, and it's gonna, you know, infect him or something, like that, right?
Now, I don't know. This sounds very, very weird to me.
Yeah, I think though. I think if he's smart, he can turn this into money.
Exactly. He'd hire himself out by
hire
Marvel.
Hire himself out as the green guy.
Exactly.
Can't wash
out. Exactly.
You know, and the kids will try to get, you know,
get
brushes
a, have a
and
game.
Stuff.
Yeah. First kid to wash up a nickel's
yeah,
worth.
Yeah, take him to San Diego. Have him as one of the zombies.
There you go, yeah.
Right. Anyway, we wish Mr. Santos all the best in getting
Absolutely.
His pigment back.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, let's keep going. Oh, Chris, you know, you're a connoisseur. You are a connoisseur of art.
Yes, I am.
You know,
yes. I do own many, many pieces of my niece's art drawings on my fridge.
Anyway, that Tintin, Hergé, is it Hergé?
Hergé,
the artist, the Belgian artist that drew Tintin in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. One of his covers for the Tintin in America sold for $1.6 million.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Yeah. You know, and here's the thing. You know, it's not that Tintin doesn't deserve it, but, you know, it seems to me like pop art and pop culture art and that kind of thing is getting more and more expensive all the time.
Yeah.
Even when you go to a comic book convention, when I first started buying sketches. It was like $20.
Yeah.
Now it's $100, right?
Yeah.
And that's only within a span of, I'd say, you know, 10, 15 years.
Right.
And it's quintupled in price.
Well, here's the thing to me, is this might not even be enough. Like, this is Tintin. This is one of, I'm going to say it, top 10 all-time worldwide comic book creators.
I completely agree with you. Yeah, absolutely.
And there's only five. Of these covers left.
Yeah, five existing ink and gouache Tintin covers are still around.
And this is one of them. Yeah. And this is Tintin. This is Hergé. You know, 1.6 million somehow doesn't seem enough.
Well, especially if there's only five of these Tintin covers left. I mean, really, like, you know, that's pretty amazing. And I mean, you know, his art and his storylines have been produced into movies. Now in cartoons, and, you know, it's a worldwide phenomenon, really.
All right. Anyway, that's cool.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
That's now the world record for a Tintin piece. And
it's probably a bit of a record for a lot of pop culture type art.
Yeah, I think
too,
you might be right. Comic cover, maybe. Even.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So that's kudos to the buyer for shelling out the cash for that puppy there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Chris, let's keep going here. Oh, this is a topic that you and I are going to spend some time talking about. Okay.
Yes.
Should we go into a musical interlude?
You know what? Why don't we?
It's a heavy topic.
Yeah. You know what? Why don't we? Can we go? Why don't we talk about Midtown?
Oh yeah.
Why don't we talk about that first, and we'll go to a musical interlude.
Okay. Midtown. Let's talk about Midtown Comics. Of course, our friends in Manhattan.
Yes.
We only went to one of their shops when we were down there a couple of years ago. I think they have two.
Yeah, we went to one of them.
Yeah,
and
the
we,
one
and,
on Broadway, and, on the one on the second floor.
Yeah, which was very cool. And
yeah.
we did go to the second store that we just talked about.
We went to FAO Schwartz. Yeah. So FAO Schwartz, probably the most famous toy store, you know, like the one location toy store in the world.
Yep. Yep.
Midtown Comics is opening a little comic book boutique within the FAO Schwartz.
That's awesome.
Store.
That's awesome. You know, I think that's great on Midtown and FAO Schwartz's part, because really, you know, comics and toys, they go well, like, they're like, you know, peanut butter and jam, right?
Yeah,
like
peanut butter and jam.
They go so well together, and sometimes when you go to an FAO Schwartz store, there's not enough comic book type related things there,
right?
Well,
the thing with Manhattan is it's so expensive down there. Remember when we went in there, they basically had all their square footage devoted to Prince of Magic.
Right.
Comic books, graphic novels, magazines, that kind of stuff. They had no room for toys.
No, they really
and
didn't.
Shops like, say, ours up here in Hamilton, or, you know, the Silver Snail in Toronto, where they're a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
I guess maybe the rent is cheaper. They have, and we successfully sell comic-related toys.
Right.
You know, the new DC Direct Batman line, the new Marvel Select Avengers line, you know, all those toys sell well. when we were down there, Midtown never really had a great toy selection. So,
no, no.
So really going didn't. Into, you know, I mean, that's what the guy that was thinking, right? Because I thought where, like, you know, where I can open, like, I thought opening Big B in, like, the library.
Right. That'd be great. That's a great idea. I'd like to rent this comic out, please. No, I'm sorry, you can't do that.
But you know what? Then somebody told me it wouldn't work.
No, why haven't you gone to like Toys R Us or something like that?
The problem with Toys R Us is I've actually thought of that. I've honestly actually thought of that.
I don't think you have. I think
no,
I had to think
no,
of it for
I
you
swear
right
to God,
now.
I thought of it. Sorry. The thing is there are national chains, and you have to have one in each.
Yeah,
they wouldn't just do a specific.
But FBO Sports has more than one store.
No, I think they're only just doing the flagship store on Fifth Avenue.
Oh, for this
right,
thing.
Yeah. So
oh,
it's like a boutique
yeah.
and
oh,
the one
I see
big
you're saying.
One.
Right,
right.
You
know
so it's
mean?
Not every store. Not
no,
every. Oh,
no,
okay, right. Okay, right, right.
So, I mean.
Well, where? But I mean, you know, maybe there's another place you can open up a little boutique.
The Stag Shop.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, hey, the costume is in the costume section.
Toys. Hey, the comic toys are over here, pal. Hey, over here.
I'm looking for Wonder Woman's lasso.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Good on them. Good on the boys at Midtown.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's. We're gonna get into that topic in a second. We're gonna have a quick musical interlude here, and here's some Leonard Nimoy for you.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Charlotte, the brave little hobbit whom we all admire, with long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes, lives in a hobbit hole, and everybody knows him, Bilbo Baggins.
There, he's kind of very animated. I think he was into the Romulan ale there before he started recording
so,
there.
Yeah.
You know, let it loose a little bit there, Spock.
See, here I thought you would say that would be the worst song. That,
oh,
you know.
I love that. What are you
oh,
talking
wow.
about?
You know, clearly you don't know anything about modern agriculture.
Right. Yeah. All right, Chris. Let's. Okay, let's talk about this. This is a hot topic.
Yes. Very. You know, it's been in the news actually in all major news outlets.
All major news outlets.
Yes. So DC. Has had a major hero come out of the closet after 72 years.
72 years.
We have, now, yes and no.
I got something to say. I've hit it too long.
So we have Alan Scott, the original Green Lantern, has turned out to be a gay character.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. It's easy for them to say after 72 years because the character has been around for 72 years.
No.
However, this is the New 52, so is this really...
This is Earth 2.
This is Earth 2 in the
New
52.
Yeah, so this is Earth 2, the Earth where all the Golden Age heroes live.
Right.
So this is a cop out.
Yeah.
Right, this is a cop out.
Yeah.
Right, this is, we won't do a mainstream... You know, you promised us a mainstream big character, and you've given us Green Lantern. Wow, yeah, that is a mainstream... No, wait a minute. It's not the Green Lantern
that
we know.
It's the Golden Age Green Lantern.
It's the old Green Lantern in the universe Earth 2 that nobody reads.
And it's also the Golden Age Green Lantern character that has a vulnerability to wood.
Hello? This thing on?
He did. The new Green Lantern is invulnerable to... is vulnerable to the color yellow.
Yeah.
And the original Green Lantern, the original Golden Age Green Lantern... was vulnerable to
wood.
Because it was a magical ring.
Yeah.
The other ones were like energy kind of thing.
Caught up to him in the end, my friend.
Yeah, it really did. Really did.
All
right,
listen. So, I don't like the fact that, how can I say it? You know, DC, it's great. You know, it's great what they've done. And, you know, I guess DC is coming around to, you know, all-inclusiveness and just catching up with society.
Right, right? Absolutely.
But kind of going this route of you know, the Earth 2 type of thing is something that they maybe could have taken more of a chance on and had somebody in the, you know, regular universe.
Right.
And here's a question for you, though.
Okay. All right.
It's a tough question.
Okay.
So get ready.
Okay, I'm ready. Okay? Yeah. Right.
If they said Wonder Woman was gay.
Yeah.
Would it have had the same effect?
No, I don't think so. I think
there are a double standard on female gay and male gay.
I think there would have been some, much a little bit of an effect, but not nearly as much as this one, because I hate to say it, but it seems to me, and I could be very wrong on this, but it seems to me that gay females are more widely accepted than gay males.
Right.
It just seems that way to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I
think you're right.
I don't know for sure, but that's what it seems like to me. So, I mean, if they had... Well, here's the question. Maybe not Wonder Woman, because Wonder Woman's a little too mainstream, right? Because she's...
No, I meant mainstream.
Okay, but what if they made Catwoman? What if they made Catwoman a lesbian? Mm. I don't think that would have made nearly the impact.
No, nothing.
Nearly the
no,
impact
no.
as Alan Scott.
Right. You're right. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the problem with comics. Though,
yeah.
Right. So this guy, James Robinson,
who wrote he wrote Starman for a long time.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but oddly enough, he also he's also the responsible for the first gay kiss in mainstream superhero comics, which occurred in Starman number 45 in 1998.
Right. Now he's promising a second gay character in Earth 2.
Well,
first my thought was, of course, well, there has to
well,
be a
I guess
it, but no, it doesn't, it could be just like a regular civilian, right? But he's saying a second type, hero type.
Okay, so I guess what he's saying is, or what we're getting at, it seems to me, is that Alan Scott, who's the Green Lantern, I guess he's not going to be involved with another major hero. Is that what they're saying, that there's going to be a different
not just
hero?
Not yet. I don't know. It's just
because
kind of cryptic.
It would make sense.
It doesn't... He told The Advocate, which is like a gay and lesbian publication, that Alan Scott won't be the only gay character in Earth 2, which means another hero, because character is like a character.
Right, yes.
So he's promising, I guess, more along that line. Now, I'm reading all this, Chris, and we got time. I want to explore this a little bit. Now, I need your help.
Okay.
So... Like, with comics, I mean, we're going to talk about comics in general here, and where comic books are going, and the opportunities that comics are, they're like at a crossroads. Like, it almost feels like, to me, like comics had given up.
On what?
On just being successful.
Okay, yeah.
Say 5-6 years ago.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they were, sales were waning, I don't know, just interest in general was waning, and then these big movies came along. Archie started it off with the Kevin Keller thing. Now that with DC's 52 was a surprise success that nobody expected.
Right. Yeah.
Miles Morales was a big success.
Yeah, for Spider-Man.
Right?
For
Spider-Man,
yeah.
Making him a, you know, visible minority.
Yeah.
It's almost like comics are going, wait a minute, we have a chance, but we have to catch up with society again. We have to have visible minority characters. We have to have gay characters. We have to change with the times because we've been so insulated and insular.
We're
just busting out now because there's hope of the comic book medium surviving.
Yeah.
The sales are actually going up. Avengers movie's doing great. Not just Avengers.
Yeah,
Iron
yeah.
Man
I mean,
before
yeah,
that
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
It's almost like there's like a flowering.
Well, you know,
in comics.
If you look at the '70s, look at the '60s and the '70s. They were pushing the boundaries of comics back
mm-hmm.
then. You know, black characters
mm-hmm.
and women's rights and movements and the talk of drug culture, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it seemed like in the '80s things got a little bit watered down and kind of crappy for a while.
And into the '90s.
They kind of pushed the boundaries a little bit, but in a different storytelling way, right? They started talking about Maus and Watchmen and The Dark Knight Returns, but it wasn't like they pushed the boundaries of the characters, they pushed the boundaries of the way stories were told.
Storytelling. That was all before the collapse. The bubble.
And that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So then you had the speculation bubble that occurred in the early 90s, which basically, it didn't matter how good the comic was, because it was like, oh, how much money can we make off it?
Right.
And so then that almost killed comics.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like 5-6 years ago, only people that were really hardcore interested in comics were still around.
Exactly.
So,
and it was dwindling every month. And comic shops would see their orders year to year go down.
Because of that, you had this like do or die situation where comics had to get good again. They had to start telling stories that people cared about. They had to start telling, having characters that people cared about again. And now all of a sudden you had these cool storylines coming out with different ideas and different creators and different books like Mouse Guard. You know, things like that were coming out where that wouldn't have been possible in the late 90s nobody would have taken a chance on it.
But that's my point. My point is we've, and it's never instantaneous. Right? Over the last half a decade, people I think have come to the realization that comic books are once again a viable and growing and vibrant thing, and it's almost immediate.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we're now exploring how we can become inclusive.
Right. And that was my point. They did it so well for a long time, and somewhere along the lines they forgot how to keep up with society.
Okay, so here's an issue or a couple issues. Race has been dealt with a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
And I think.
But not, I had this conversation the other day with somebody. Not really. Yes and no. Okay, let's I know you got some other stuff to talk about here. But
No, we're going to stay with this.
Very quickly, I had a little bit of a long conversation about, as far as black characters in comics go, Marvel has some great ones, but does DC really have any characters that are really all that great who are black?
Right.
Right? I mean, they've got, Mr. Terrific had his own comic for a while.
Yeah.
Cyborg's around, and there's a couple other kind of...
There's no prominent, like Nick Fury leading the Avengers.
Right, exactly, right? Or even, Black Panther,
Black Panther,
They've got some great black characters, and I don't really seem to see a whole lot coming from the DC universe. And I think that there's some other things like that some other companies need to jump on here. But anyways,
I was gonna say women. I don't think we've addressed the women issue in comics correctly, because women in comics are drawn for young men.
Yeah, well, that's right. Because
the women in comics is not inclusive to women.
No, women.
We lost women readers to manga,
yes.
which skews it more towards relationship romance type thing. The superhero women comics are girls in with big boobs, thongs up the butt, like big bums and stuff like that.
Yep.
Drawn, scantily, and so young men can go, oh yeah, look at whoever.
And if you look at the successful comics that have women as lead type characters in them, they're the ones that aren't drawn like Wonder Woman or Power Girl or Rogue or whoever. If you look at comics like, say, for example, Runaways,
they've
got some strong female characters in that. Or what's the Why the Last Man?
Yes.
Strong female
Absolutely,
characters in that.
Yeah.
And yet,
But those are not mainstream hero titles.
No,
they have
that's
to do
right.
it on the periphery.
And
right?
maybe can you have a mainstream superheroine?
Well, listen, they're pushing the envelope with taboos like gay men as main heroes. Why not push the envelope and put a girl in pants? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And they tried that, but they tried that with Wonder Woman years ago, and it didn't work.
But they tried that toward the male audience, I think.
Right, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't have the answer. I'm just exploring the fact that I don't think we all think, women, that's not an issue anymore in comics, but I still think it is. I still think that we don't have enough female readers because our women are written for men.
Yeah, but then, not that this is a bad thing, but then does it become Sex and the City comics, right? Because now you get comics like that where it's geared so much towards women that guys probably look at it and go, oh, there's no way I'm gonna
that's what comics is all about. Comics is so widespread that you have those comics that kids just want to read.
Fair
you
enough.
Have those
yeah,
comics
absolutely.
That
Fair enough. Yeah.
young teenage girls just want to read. You have those comics that old diehard fanboys just want to read. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can have both. You
okay.
can have,
all right.
The Ultimate Universe, and you can have like the Pink Universe. I don't know. I know what I mean.
I know.
Picked a bad word.
Yeah,
but,
I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying. So, I mean, and I think it's the American And then the next thing I wanted to get to, sorry, while we're on this, we're running out of time because it's a great topic, but, you know, Danny Champ, our intrepid reporter in Britain,
yeah,
he touched upon in an article he did for Comical Daily this week on, you know, the Jubilee in England.
Right, the Queen's
like
Diamond Jubilee.
Like a dweeb Englishman.
Yeah.
He's at the Jubilee in England.
Nice.
And the Queen is there. Hello, hello. You know, everybody's there.
Yeah.
And everybody's British and they're flying their flags and it's all Jubilee celebration. And like a dweeb, like an English dweeb, he goes, man, like, what if, like, London got attacked by supervillains right now?
That's...
Like, who would save London? Like, New York has, like, you know, their superheroes. They'd save them. The Avengers would come in. Who would save London?
And this is why we love Danny Chan.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Because he's always thinking that way.
Yeah, he needs help.
Well, you know what? He's got a good point.
Yeah.
First of all, he's got a good point. I mean, although, other than, you know, are we going to talk about that now? Or?
Well, yeah, but that's, like, continuing on with the new, it's all tied in with kind of the new possibilities of comics.
Right.
What do we do now about comics being perceived as New York centric?
Okay, well,
do we have a London team?
You're right and you're wrong.
Okay, good.
Here's the thing. So, of course, Marvel did have Excalibur, so they had the British members.
Sure.
So they had, you know, they had Captain Britain, and of course, there's, you know, Union
Still
Jack
around.
Was around. Yeah.
Yep.
And so there are characters that are predominantly British.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, you know, of course, they're not Spider-Man, Wolverine, Cyclops. They're not the major Marvel characters.
Right.
Now, Marvel has tried to have different, you know, areas of the United States being covered by different heroes.
Yeah.
They had the West Coast Avengers.
Oh, love
but,
that.
But again, that was, you know, Hawkeye went out to the West Coast. He went to California, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it really wasn't all that different. It was just happened to be them over on the West Coast.
Right.
And it was some of the lesser characters. So you had, like, Hawkeye, Tigra, the Shroud.
Yeah.
You know, you see where I'm getting with this, right?
Yeah, like okay, maybe.
And then you had, and then there's the Great Lakes Avengers, where you had
Squirrel Girl, love it,
and I don't know, some guy that makes
Squirrel
himself
guy.
Flat or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, but all right, but that in itself is maybe saying that you can't. Maybe the answer is to have heroes that are universal, maybe worldwide. You know what I mean?
Well,
like when you think about comic books the way they are right now. The world is consuming the Avengers.
Right.
Okay? The American platform of superhero comics, because that's what the template is. That's what's being used.
Yeah.
Think about it, like, they have a competitive advantage now to proliferate through the world.
Right.
So think about, like, you know, like, sort of the Apple platform, in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's the one everybody wants to buy off.
Right.
So, like, the American, can we take the American model of comics and make it read religiously around the world, like it's read religiously in North America, without having to go to a Captain Britain or a Captain Moscow or a Captain Boris the Bear or something? Like, is there a solution to make the heroes that we have now universal as opposed to American?
Right. I
don't know.
I understand what you're saying.
Maybe
those
guys can save London for Danny there. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't... Yeah. Here's an interesting point about that. I think... It depends, you know, this is getting really geeky here for a second, but I mean, the DC universe seems to be more worldwide than the Marvel universe does. In the Marvel universe, like, because you can say, oh, Superman, sure, he can go save the Tower of London. Oh, Superman can save, the Eiffel Tower, you know, whatever. But Wolverine, it might take him a few days to get there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or even, it's not Japan.
Yeah.
He's not interested.
Yeah, or even some other character that can fly from Marvel. He's busy and, you know. It seems like, you know, Wonder Woman, The Flash, Superman, they can all get to those places worldwide, but the Marvel characters probably couldn't. So they better have somebody over there. They better have Excalibur. They better have West Coast Avengers.
Right. It seems like, because you're right, because if Fury gathers the troops and gets them in the helicarrier.
Yeah.
It seems like, these are Americans coming over to help out, you know, in their imperialistic fashion, you know, coming in to save the day. So maybe the answer is that it's the world enjoying American comics, and we can never change it into the world enjoying comics
that were
the American template long ago.
You know, it seems like whenever, and God bless them, it seems like whenever Marvel tries to make things a little more international. It's kind of a cool fad for a while, then it fizzles out.
All right.
You know, like, remember they had that when Spider-Man, they did the in India, right? They had the. Do you remember that?
Already my story.
I don't remember what his movie was. Peter Parker, right? And it just didn't last. And it was interesting for a second, but it just didn't last.
All right, Chris, let's end this before
let's end this debacle. Yeah.
Listen, this is such a huge topic. We need a comic culture special.
We really do.
Comics are, where they're going, and what should happen.
Yes.
All right, should we go to a small musical interlude before we do the preview?
Oh, we're still doing previews. Right, okay. Let's... let me see what I got here. Hold on.
All right, I'll talk to Chris. So
I didn't know we were going to have another.
Listen, we don't have to have a music for it. Let's just talk about the previous catalog.
I got one right here.
Look at you now.
Hold on. Here we go. It's Walk Like a Zombie by the Horror Pops. Oh. Wrong one. Sorry. Hold on.
Bless all of you. Hey, walk like a zombie.
Yeah. Anyway,
so let's, Chris, we just have a few minutes, but we should talk about...
We have two minutes.
Yeah, at your local comic shop, the previews catalog is where you kind of pre-order for stuff coming down the pipe.
Right.
And we like to, once a month, just go through the back and look.
Yeah, we like to choose the ones that are kind of a little odd-looking. Yes.
Yeah, Chris, it's a good word. Anyway, we're going to start with Mitch, our sound guy, and he kind of likes on page 403 of the
previews catalog.
June previews catalog.
That is what we're talking about here.
Santa's Ship Mini Mate Vehicle. It's a previews exclusive.
Oh.
And it's like those mini mates, like Lego guys.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
And it's Santa's got the little bell on his head, on his hat.
And he's got like a boat.
Yeah, he's like a pirate. He's like a boat. He's got his own boat.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's how Santa gets all his toys throughout the year. That he steals them from other, you know...
Like a pirate.
Avast the elves.
Yes. But you know what? That's what confused me is, doesn't he have a sleigh? Why wouldn't he do a sleigh?
Because this is like, you know...
No, like, why not a sleigh? Why a boat?
Because it's not Christmassy.
Right. Okay.
I don't know. What do you want from me?
That works for me.
What do you want from me?
All right. Anyway, all right. Mitch, we put an order in for you, so don't worry about that.
Okay, we got a minute. Let's go.
All right, let's go. Then I'm going to go with on page 460 of the June previews catalog.
You said that.
Which you can pick up at your local comic shop. This is great. This is, you have the ice cube trays.
Oh, yeah.
But they're the pie ice cube trays.
Oh, I love pie. Like apple pie.
No, not that kind of pie. Oh. Not even the other kind. We're talking about, like, as high, 3.14159.
Oh, okay,
The diameter divided by the radius, or something like that. No, the radius divided... No,
what?
No,
what? Huh? You're boring
the
me.
The circumference. Yeah, anyway, the pie. So yeah,
can you imagine
the egghead kind of party going on, the cocktail party, and you're throwing a... Yes, honey, here's your drink. What are these ice cubes? Well, if you must know.
It's the symbol for pie.
It's the symbol for pie. And then she, of course, she'll throw the drink in his face.
Well, of course,
and
then
right there.
And that's the first, that's the last time he had pie in his face.
Hello.
All right, so I'm going to choose the Stay Puft marshmallows, but these are Stay Puft caffeinated marshmallows. So Ghostbusters is coming back, and now you can stay up late at night watching the movie.
I just got the last joke.
You know what? That's the end of today's show.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening.
Listen, Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by Mitch Bookstein. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll down to the comments field and please add your comments. You can hear us on podcast on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com.
And remember, there are two kinds of spurs, those that come through the door and those that come in through the window. I have no idea what that means.
I think that was an old one. Anyway, please visit your local comic book shop.
Have yourself a great day.